you. Good. We all doing okay? It's all three of you. Great. Brilliant. Good. Well, if you've been with us the last few weeks, you'll know we're on a little series looking at the church. And the reason we felt to do that, obviously, we've got this new building, but we want to remind ourselves that the church is actually not the building. It's you and me. It's us. It's the people of God. And there are seven pictures of the church that we're looking at in the book of Ephesians. And today is number four. We've already looked at the assembly. The assembly, a gathering together of God's people, a place of authority. We've also looked at the body of Christ, describing the church, how it all connects together. And each person is important within that, as each part of my body is important to me, so each one is. And then last week we were looking at the masterpiece. Did you know you are a masterpiece in God's hands? Yeah, you really are. And God wants to display his splendor through us. That's amazing, isn't it? He would choose me and he would choose you to do that for this world in which we live. And so today we're on number four, and we're looking at the family of God. And if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to Ephesians 3. And we're going to read a few verses from there, from verse 12, Ephesians 3, verse 12. And Paul writes this. In him, he's talking about Christ, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. What a wonderful privilege that today you and I can approach God, God Almighty, because of what Jesus has done. And he says, I ask you therefore, this is Paul speaking, the Apostle Paul. He said, I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. For this reason, I'll kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Some great stuff in there. How many have got a good imagination? Yeah? Some of you got a real good imagination. I'm not particularly that creative sort of type. I'm more of a bit of a nuts and bolts type person, probably. But some people got some really... Well, God can do immeasurably more than you can imagine, dream, or hope for. Yeah? Immeasurably. Now, I used to work in science, and you had to measure everything. Everything had to be proved. But when something's immeasurably, you can't do that. You just got to go with faith, and you just got to say, actually, God wants to do far more than we ever dream or imagine. This is our God, bigger than perhaps we can comprehend with our natural abilities. But in verse 14 there and 15, Paul says, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives its name. What's he saying there? He's saying, God, when we look at God, and particularly the Father, we see something of family that is then seen in natural families across the world today and throughout history. And if you've got the New International Version of the Bible, you'll probably see some footnotes at the end of the chapter. And it says there that family is derived from the word father. The Greek for family, patria, is derived from the Greek word father. So the whole thought of family is so closely connected with that sense of father. How many of you know that in our world today, some of the biggest sociological challenges are to do with lack of fathers in families? All sorts of reports come out with regard to that. There was an article a couple of years ago by the BBC, and it was headed with this headline, and it said, a million children growing up without fathers in our nation. A million children. This was actually 4 years ago, and it was taken, they took the headline based around the Centre for Social Justice, who'd done a report on lone parent families, and it's not obviously just fathers, but But it said this, it says lone parent families are increasing by more than 20,000 a year and will top 2 million by the next general election. It's a huge challenge in our nation, isn't it? And particularly the absence of fathers. The report went on to say the absence of fathers is linked to higher rates of teenage crime, pregnancy and disadvantage. And the report warned that the UK was experiencing a tsunami of family breakdown. That's our nation. It's a huge challenge. But let me say this in this room today. Whatever your background, whatever your story, whatever your history, there's a God in heaven who wants, he's a good, good father, we sing, don't we? We sing a song, he's a good, good father. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. And, you know, that can be a revelation for each one of us, whatever our natural family background is, whatever our natural family story is. And I think we need to recognize, you know, when we sing about Jesus and we lift his name, and that's absolutely right that we do. But the primary thing that Jesus came to do was to draw us to the Father, to open a way to the Father, wasn't it? John 14, verse 6, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He opens a way for us to come into a relationship with God the Father. And of course, when Jesus taught his early disciples to pray, how did he start that? You know, he said, when you pray, pray this way. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. So put in a focus, put in the relationship connection with us and Father God. Ephesians, going back to Ephesians, if you go to chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, and I'll read it from the New Living Translation. Paul says this, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family, his own family, by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Did you know it's an absolute delight to God that you're here today and you're in the family of God? Whatever anybody thinks about, whatever anybody else thinks about you, God loves you, he cares for you, and he wants that relationship with you. And that brings him great delight. I don't know how you woke up this morning, what you felt like, whether you felt life was wonderful, everything was going smoothly, or whether life at this moment stinks. But God wants you to know that he loves you, and he's delighted to be in relationship with you. He wants to draw you closer and closer to him and to share his goodness. The language that the Apostle Paul used, he said, you know, he adopts us into his family. God adopts us into his family. If any of you have done the Alpha course, you will have probably heard an illustration that Nicky Gumbel uses when he's doing one of the talks. And he said, I heard about a little boy who'd been adopted. And he was being teased in the playground at school, and the kids around him were saying, oh, you're adopted. Oh, you're adopted. Yeah. We're actually in a proper family. You're adopted. And the little boy turned around to them and he said this. He said, He said, look, my parents chose me. Yours were lumbered with you. God chose you and I. Chose us. Before the foundation of the earth, the Bible tells us, he wants us in his family. He wants that close relationship with us. And that whole sense of adoption, again, if you've got the NIV, the New International Version of the Bible, you'll see some footnotes there talking about the rights and privileges and that sense of legal position that adoption brings and the privileges and responsibilities that come with that. But when we look at families, just think about natural families, just think about your family right now. Just have a bit of a think. And you'll all have all sorts of stories. Some families are really close, some are not so close, some are a bit distant. But sometimes you find, particularly the ones that are close, that there's a bit of a glue somewhere that sticks them together. Sometimes it's a matriarchal figure in the family. My father-in-law used to call his mother-in-law, who was Amory's grandmother, he used to call her the commander-in-chief. I don't think he ever did it to her face, but I mean, but she had a bit of influence in the family. She's a great lady, passed away a few years ago. Key influencer. And I think in the family, and in our families, in our natural families, God's calling us to be key influencers. We've got something to carry. We've got something to bring because of our relationship with God and his love that's been poured out into our hearts and lives. What are we bringing into our families? You know, if we've got children and they're growing up, I think we've got a great responsibility to encourage them, children, in the things of God. Now, we can't make decisions for them. They've all got to come to their own decisions, and that can bring some heartaches for us, for some families, when perhaps things don't work out quite how parents hoped or dreamed that they perhaps would. But keep looking to God. Keep asking God to help. Keep praying. Keep bringing the truths of God's word to bear. And let's pray for significant family units to come to Christ and to go on. And for children who are coming up in your family, growing up, and you know, and we've got great provision for kids here. But when, you know, kids are emerging and beginning to think a little bit more for themselves in those latter teenage years, it can be a real challenge, can't it? But let's believe, let's dare to believe that God wants to establish families that grow and keep moving forward in the things of God. How many are ready to pray for some of that? And to see some perhaps who've drifted away being restored, like those that prodigal son that we read about in Scripture. But ultimately, you know, when we think about the glue of a family that holds families together, what is ultimately the glue? It's probably not the matriarch in one sense, but something perhaps she carries. And that's love, isn't it? Love in a family is incredible glue. When we think about us, the church, the family of God, if we've got the love of God at work in our hearts and lives, it's incredibly powerful. When people come through the doors and they sense something of God's presence and God's love among us, it can transform everything. You know, we have this little saying here at City Church that we want to know Jesus and to make him known through the love of God working in and through our lives. Various people have been accredited with this saying. That's quite a well-known saying. And the saying is, the most compelling force in the universe is love. Few people have been accredited with that. Perhaps it's underscored that in Scripture. When we read that, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible for many of us, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him would not perish but have eternal life. The love of the Father for humanity. And he wants to bring his love to each one in this on this planet. And he does it through the church by the power of the Holy Spirit and declaring the goodness of the gospel through Jesus Christ. And Paul, in that passage that we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, he says, I pray. And he says, I'm praying this for you, for the church at Ephesus. I pray that you being rooted and established in what? Love. May have power. It's great to have power, but be rooted in love. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, and to know that for yourself, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God wants every single person in this room to experience and know his love. Not just one or two, not just a handful, but every single person, whatever your background, whatever your story, whatever your upbringing, he wants you to know his love. When you think about love, it's probably one of our greatest needs as human beings. Yeah? Starting with the love of God, the Father wants to radiate his love to each one of us. Paul, again, when he writes to the church at Rome in chapter 5, verse 5, he says, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Did you know that God wants to pour more of his love into your heart today? Don't matter how long you've been a Christian, or even if you would class yourself a Christian right at this moment, God wants to pour his love into your heart to a greater measure. Anybody up for that? That sense of God's love on your life? Yeah, Because that changes everything. That changes my perspective. When I know that sense of the Father and his love being upon me, that changes my perspective in life and how I do things and sense of who I am in him. And it begins to affect, doesn't it? The love of God, when it is brought to bear on our lives, it begins to affect us. And we start to do things a little bit differently. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples in John 13, he said, you know, the world is going to know that you are my disciples because of your love for one another. Now, when you look at that, often described as a motley crew of early disciples from all different backgrounds, some of them quite tough cookies, you know, you wouldn't necessarily just bundle them together. Tax collector, fisherman, doctor, you know, probably not socially compatible in some ways for some of those. But yet they come together, and Jesus is saying to them, actually, people are going to know you're my disciples, not by what you say, because of your love for one another. I mean, know that the love of God, when it's at work in our lives, just makes connections with people, other Christians. There's something supernatural about it. And it's like that common bond. Some of you have had the privilege, you know, these guys are going off to Albania. Some of you have had the privilege of going to other parts of the world, some places where you don't even speak the same language. But yet you connect with other people of the church, Christian faith, and you all of a sudden, very quickly, there's that sense of you can't put your finger on it, but there's a common bond, and it's something supernatural. And the love of God begins to work within us. And it begins to affect the way we relate to people, doesn't it? How many of you know if you've been a Christian for a while, you don't relate to people the same way as you used to? It's changed your way of living, you change your way of life, change your behaviors, change the way you speak and the things you say. A few of us, just on Tuesday this last week, were down in Lincoln. As a church, we're part of what's called the Ground Level Network of Churches, about 90 churches in the UK. And on a monthly basis, there's a gathering of leaders down in Lincoln, and we went down there on Tuesday. And the guy who was speaking was actually the guy who leads the network, called Stuart Bell. Some of you will have seen him, heard him speak at the One event over the August Bank Holiday weekend. And he was talking on Tuesday about the importance of relationships and those key relationships in our lives. And he talked about sticking close, not being aloof. You know, we're not meant to be islands on our own. We're meant to build relationships. It's not good for man to be alone, says in Scripture. But to build relationships, to have those strong relationships in our lives that can feed us and do us good and help us and encourage us and vice versa. You know, so it's not all one way. And he said that he made this statement. He said, strong, authentic relationships bring kingdom progress. When I look across this area, and Liz was praying for the area and for the nation, you know, there's some challenges in our town and our area of northeast Lincolnshire and the nation at this time and even the world. But actually, we're called to make a difference as the kingdom of, as part of the kingdom of God, the people of God. And we're going to do that together because people are going to see that we are his disciples because of our love for one another, that sense of relationship. So don't, I want to encourage you, build relationship, connect with people, don't stay aloof, yeah? Everybody happy? Oh, good. Do you know, let me say this, right? We have some great people serving the church in all sorts of different ways. We have a group of people, when you come through the door, unless you sneak in through that door, but if you come through the main door and in that way, you will get greeted by people. Yeah, there's some people on the door. There's a welcome section over there. And like, there are people who are specifically doing a welcoming job of people coming in. So hopefully you all got welcomed, unless you were here really, really early before the welcome team were there. But let me say this. It's everybody's job to welcome people to the church. Huh, thank you. Oh, it's the biggest hurrah so far. Brilliant. It's everybody's job to welcome people to the church. It's not just the guys that we specifically asked to do it by the door there. So, you know, and we all have our connections, we all have our friendships, we all have, let's use the word cliques. And that's right in some ways, because there are people that we're going to particularly connect with. But let's not lose sight of, we want to be open-hearted and welcome people in who, you know, perhaps new in our setting. We've got this new building coming on stream. Great stuff. Exciting. All sorts of challenges with it, but really, really exciting. We want it to be a welcome place, don't we? Not just the physical fabric of the building, but actually the people who are in it. We want it to be a welcome place. And hey, here's a thought. So Andy said, you know, we've got all this work going on. And bless them, these electricians and plumbers, they keep finding things that, oh, you ought to have that done, oh, this needs doing, et cetera, et cetera. So the one or two things that we, when we had the original surveys done, didn't sort of come on the agenda, shall we say. But now they are. And that's all taking a little bit longer, but it all takes also takes a little bit more money. Yeah. So we're having to prioritise, you know, where we spend, what we spend. And thank you to everybody who's contributed into the vision offering over the last few months. Brilliant. But here's a little thought. Here's a thought. How many of you enjoy sitting down in church? Because if the chairs weren't here, no, I mean, these aren't the best chairs on the planet, I'll give you that. But it's better than no chair at all. Yeah, all right, okay. So we are looking at some chairs which are better than these. All right, they're probably going to work out, when you add all the bits and bobs to them, about 25 quid a pop, all right? So what about, here's a thought, buy yourself a chair. Not that you're going to have your name on it, all right, so if somebody sat on it next week, you don't get upset. But what about buy yourself? But what about this? Buy a chair for somebody who's yet to come. Two chairs then. Huh? The vision offering is still open. There are still envelopes available. If you want to put 50 quid in an envelope, if you can, or whatever, towards that, that would be brilliant. That would really help us, actually. But particularly thinking about people who have yet to come. Let's make some room. Let's make some space. Let's make some availability for people to come. Yeah? Okay. So if we said probably the greatest need as human beings we have is to sense love, perhaps the second one is acceptance. We all need that sense of acceptance, don't we? That actually, yeah. Jesus made an interesting statement in John 14, and verse 1 and 2. And he says this. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" So, what's Jesus talking about? Well, there's a sense of he was going to the Father, he's going to heaven, he's going to prepare a place for us. In the culture of the day, and historically up to that point, when you think about that sense of place, somewhere to live, that, you know, you think about the Father's house, it was that sense of ever-growing. So what they used to do, so if they had a baby or somebody in the family got married, they'd bolt on a bit more space. Some nations of the world still do that today. It's not like the UK, although maybe it is in some houses, and it's probably going to go back to that with some of the social challenges we've got with, you know, the elderly population, etc. We may start having to make more rooms in our houses as the elderly population emerges, if you like. So he said, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And yes, there's that sense of heaven. How many of you are glad that there's a place in heaven assured for you today through Jesus Christ, yeah? But what about that sense of house now? See, the primary meaning of the word house is not necessarily the building, but the family, the household, if you like. So perhaps one way of reading that scripture is, in my Father's family are many rooms. There's space for you, Jesus said, in God's family. There's space for you. That sense of acceptance, making room. How many of you know there's all kinds of different people on the planet? Just look around the room. And how many of you know the person sat next to you has got their idiosyncrasies. Some of you are saying, David, what is idiosyncrasies? Well, let me tell you this. The dictionary defines that as a mode of behaviour particular to an individual. The person next to you has modes of behaviour particular to them. Now, don't go commenting, because they're thinking the same about you. We're all different. We're all wired a little bit differently. We all respond to things differently. And do you ever find yourself, sometimes you think, I wish they wouldn't say that, or I wish they wouldn't do that, or I wish they'd do it slightly differently. Why aren't they just a little bit like me? No, you don't think that. Yeah, you do. You know, we often want to change people before they're connected in. But Jesus had this great way of accepting people, didn't he? And talking to people and connecting with people who were prostitutes, who were tax collectors, vilified in their culture at the time. A way of relating to them that broke down barriers. And over a process of time, lives were changed. How many of you know we're all a work in progress? We ain't all made it yet. So I'm a work in progress. Some of you are thinking, thank goodness for that, Lord, hurry up. Yeah. But it was acceptance and entry into the family that many people you read in Scripture, New Testament Scripture particularly, found a place and a grace that would be available to them and would help them to bring about transformation in their lives. The help comes through God's word, through our relationship with him, through the power of the Holy Spirit. If we open our hearts to God's love and his spirit, then God can do amazing things with us. You know, and I just, for a moment, just think about what are we doing, what am I doing in terms of welcoming people into this family of God? As we've been talking about, we're going into this new building just in a few weeks' time. And we had a carload of us yesterday. We're down at a day in Sleaford, and part of the Ground Level Network has what we call a connection, which is churches from the Humber to the Wash area. And a number of us were meeting together yesterday. And part of that day was we were praying for each other, each church. So, you know, we would ask, what's happening in your world? I'll just tell you about Sleaford for a moment. Sleaford, this Wednesday just gone, one of their leaders was killed in a road traffic accident. So today, right now, that church is having to cope with that and work through that. And we were praying for them yesterday and praying encouragement for them as they journey that. And came to our turn to be stood in the middle, as it were, as the other churches gathered round us. And they said, you know, what's happening? So Anne-Marie was sharing some bits, and particularly about the building. And they started to pray. And one person shared a prophetic word with us. And the prophetic word was along these lines. That there are, you know, we are going to be close to the Franklin College, aren't we? Directly, if you look out the front door of the church building, you look straight into the front door of Franklin College. It's literally directly opposite. And one of the folk yesterday said, God wants to encourage you that there are going to be some key connections into that college. There are going to be some key students who are going to become Christians in that college, and it's going to begin to influence the place. Wow. Anybody up for that? Now, if students from Franklin College, 16, 17-year-olds, 18-year-olds, that sort of age group. We've got Rebecca here representing the college. I don't know anybody else from college here, from Franklin, but Rebecca goes. If they're going to come to Christ, you know, and maybe before that, we're going to have to welcome them. Yeah, we're going to have doors open to them in some way, shape, or form, and opportunities for them to connect and build relationship with them. Am I ready for that? Are you ready for that? Yeah? That's going to mean some time, some energy, some availability, and probably a little bit more than we think. Because, you know, the Apostle Paul, again, when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 4:15, he says that he makes this statement. And he said, even if you've had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ I became your father through the gospel. What's he challenging there? He's challenging that sense of getting alongside people, helping people on their journey of faith, being available to them and encouraging them. That sense of fathers and mothers in the faith. For those of us who've been on this journey of faith a while, been connected into the family of God a while, it's a challenge, isn't it? Are we still open-hearted and open-handed to the world around us to connect in, to experience for themselves the love of God? My challenge to us today is to maybe consider again our open-heartedness and our willingness to be available. Maybe there are people here today who actually you're thinking, I've just popped along this morning. Maybe my first time here, or I've never been before. Maybe I've just been a couple of times and I'm not sure I'm part of the family, this family of God that you're talking about. Well, today that can change. This is the good news of the gospel. This can be a place of transformation this morning. Paul, again, in Romans 8, verse 14, he said, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption into sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is an Aramaic word for father. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Today, you can experience that for yourself. The Spirit of God coming to you, transformation taking place, the old gone, the new come, as the Bible puts it, that you're a brand new person. This whole sense of being adopted into God's family. The great thing about that sense of adopting is it's not dependent on us in many ways. We've got to be willing to go down that journey, but it's not dependent on us in the sense of we don't have to be perfect to get into the family. Because we're all on that journey of shaping and moulding and sorting out our rough edges. How many of you are glad he didn't call the righteous? Huh? We had to wait till we were righteous. We'd have a real problem. God doesn't look on the outward appearance and say, well, you're from this social class or that social class. But actually, no. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. And it also means that we have many brothers and sisters when we come into that family. What a radical notion it would be if we thought about ourselves as brothers and sisters if we were in the church. You know, years ago when I was growing up in church, often people would be referred to as brother or sister. So it would be, now Sister Liz has led the service. Sister Denise looks after the communion when we get together. Brother Don was sanding at the building yesterday. You know, and so you would talk like that. That's a bit like old-fashioned language in many ways. But actually, maybe as the church has moved forward and some of that language has dropped, maybe we've lost that sense of family a little bit. Now, I'm not saying we reinstitute that and start saying, now then, Brother Richard, how are you today? But do you know what I'm saying? That is that sense that we're family, as we're brought into this relationship with God. The wonderful thing about the family of God is it's not just confined to this room either. This morning, gathered around the world, as the time moves on and the sun goes around the globe, it'll keep going. People are gathering. The church is gathering. And the wonderful thing in the nation, this nation, the UK right at the moment, is some of the denominational barriers are breaking down. If you were at the one event just in August, you will have seen, if you were there on a Sunday evening, a big scroll was brought. And that scroll is in the process of going through 34 different Christian festivals, Bible weeks, summer camps for over about an eight-month period in 2017. Prayers were prayed at the one event on that Sunday evening that would have been prayed in previous events and would be prayed, and there's a couple more events to go, I think. 34. Thumbprints were put on that scroll, on the word one, and that we are one. that sense of unity that we want to stand with our brothers and sisters. There was a big event a week last Friday down at Parliament Square, where national leaders of churches and denominations gathered together with this scroll to pray for our nation. There's something happening in our nation with regard to denominational barriers. The family of God being recognized, where some of those barriers historically have been quite strong and difficult, some of those are beginning to break down. Did you know that this morning there's a church praying for us in Grimsby? Another church. They're not only praying for us, they're going to be taking an offering for our building program. Now, historically, we've given money to other churches to help them in certain projects and building programs, etc., etc. And sometimes, you know, what you sow is what you reap. But when this church leader said to me, well, I'll tell you, he said, you know, we want to bless you, we want to encourage you, we love what you're doing. And Mark Wolfenden has gone there today just to share a bit about what we're doing, and then they're going to take an offering. Brilliant. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The family of God. When we place our faith in Christ, God becomes our Father, we become his children, other believers become our brothers and sisters. In Matthew 12, Jesus points to his disciples and said, these are my brothers, my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. What is Jesus saying? Well, in the words of Sister Sledge from 1979, we are family. And it goes something like, I got all my sisters with me. I think the Chipmunks also re-released that, Alvin and the Chipmunks, later on. But we're family. And the family of God includes all those believers through the history of the church, those on the planet today and those that will yet come. The Spirit of God, Romans 8, makes you God's children. And the Spirit's in the Spirit's power, we cry to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. Peter says this in 1 Peter 1:3. It is his boundless mercy that has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. Invitation to each one of us. We're all born naturally to natural families. But today, there's that opportunity to be brought in to the family of God if you've never taken that step before. And that can only come through faith in Jesus Christ. You are all children of God, Paul says in Galatians, through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm going to ask the band to come back. We're going to sing a song. The song I've asked the guys to sing is one I don't think we've sung on a Sunday morning. I know we've done it in our staff meetings. And the song's called The Love of the Father. And it says, we are the people of God with the freedom of hope in our hearts. How great is the love of the Father? It's that sense of knowledge of the love of the Father. Lifted from darkness and into the light, the sons and the daughters are loved at a price. Our God has made us his forever. But before we sing, I want to just give people the opportunity. And I'm going to say this. Sometimes, when we sing, now those guys are going to set up. I'll let them off, all right? But sometimes when we sing the last song, I've clocked one or two people sneaking out early to get in the coffee queue first. I've clocked you. Well, I'm going to say today, don't do that. Because at the end of our time, I want you to give yourself a couple of minutes to go and connect with some people, maybe that you've never spoken to before. So don't go to people that you know. Maybe that you've never spoken to before, you don't know much about them, and just say hi, introduce yourself, find out who they are. Let's just take a few minutes to welcome a few people so it's not just the welcome team. And then go and get your coffee and then connect with the people that you connect with and talk about the things that you need to talk about with particular individuals probably. But why don't just for a couple of minutes do that? But before we sing, just feel the opportunity, give the opportunity for people who don't feel part of God's family, never come into this relationship with God, that today we want to make that opportunity available to you. So I want everybody stand, and I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to ask everybody to pray it along with me. I'll pray a line at a time. And this is an opportunity, this is really asking God to come into our lives, transform us to just deal with any issues, any sin that's in our lives, but also to bring us into that sense of family and that connectedness with the Father. So let's pray. Father God, everybody pray. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for me. That my sin and my pain could be dealt with once and for all. I ask you to forgive me of any issues that are in my life. And I ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit. And fill me with your love today. And that from today, my life will be transformed in you.
My life will be transformed in you.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.